Alrighty, I'm welcoming in our Zoom participant.
Great. Hey, thanks, Seth, for taking care of that today.
Jesus is calling, calling, oh.
We cannot hear you.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Zion and our worship this morning. I want to give a special greeting to all mothers and women in our lives. We have had a drive-through event this morning where women, families can come and pick up a flower and also chocolate cupcakes for your family. So we haven't had a huge turnout for that. So those of you that are here in our parking lot, please help yourself to those things. And as we honor our mothers and women in our lives, a few announcements this morning. Please remember that we are going to continue our Sunday morning services outside at 10 a.m. And that means bring your own chair. There is no tent or cover. So dress according to the weather. And those who are fully vaccinated and can distance themselves 6 feet or more can choose not to wear masks on Sunday morning at our outdoor service. We want to also bring your attention to MCC relief kits. And this information is in your bulletin. We want to ask people to pick up these items and gather those together so that we can send those off. Just please look at your bulletin for that information and consider gathering those items. We want to also remember our new pastor, Steve Bomar and Ann, and their family as they prepare to come and be our pastors June 1st. And we want to remember Bill and Julie Blank as next Sunday will be Bill's last Sunday here as our interim. I'm going to invite Ken Beachy to come up for our call to worship this morning.
Good morning. Is that a Levi out there? Good to see you and your friend. Yeah. This is a special day of honoring, not just honoring, but thinking about and saying thank you to not only moms in our families, but the aunts and the sisters and the rest of the women. Thank you very much for what you bring. We have a treat this morning. I'm looking forward to what Bill's going to share from Matthew. Wide gates, narrow gates, paths that are going to lead somewhere. I've thought of those as over the time as dealing with salvation, but I now see it as something different. Has to do with my thinking, has to do with how I process things. When I looked at the forecast this morning, said there were supposed to be some sun, some clouds at 10 o'clock. Is it 10 o'clock yet? Okay. Well, it's coming. All right. Believe it or not, this place has been a place of worship for me. In the last 10 or 15 years, being inside the church building has been a challenge for me. When we fill it up with people, headaches, stuffy head, and so forth. So I a lot of times get the headphones and come out here. This is my church building out here. That bench is mine, Julie. You can borrow it this morning if you'd like to. Yeah, and I'd usually pull the bench up here when there's a little bit of sunshine, so I can kick that in. First, I really resented that. I didn't want this strange disorder in my body, and I thought it was just, I pitied myself. And I just, that's a wide gate. You get in that place of pitying yourself because of something's happened to you. It's a slippery, slidey slope. Not many people join you. Not many people join me. I resented it. Shouldn't be happening. What was the blessing of having a body that doesn't do very well in a room full of people? Couldn't watch the kids during the children's story. Couldn't hear the music very well. I had the earphones on. I could hear that. And there's just a physical disconnect between me and people in the congregation. But you know, there is a beauty out here. There are geese that every morning during church service decide to do a flyby. I don't know if you noticed when Stan was worship leader, when he stepped up here, there was a whole flock of them just came by in honor of him or whatever. But that happens almost every Sunday when we're here. There's a water pond, whatever, down over across there. And there's a lot of birds that come and join that water. We've got squirrels that really enjoy these trees around here. And they have a lot to say about the sermon. Yeah. One thing I noticed is that when I would sit here, I would disappear to anyone else. There was a lot of people watching, people coming and going. I saw teenagers that decided it was time to leave whatever was going on in there and kind of make their way over to a meeting over here for a while. That was okay. I came to see this as another one of God's gathering spaces. It's one of a deeper, different kind of worship for me than inside. And I thought, boy, wouldn't it be great if we were all out here? Would it be great if we're all out here? Well, maybe not for everybody, okay? I still feel a deep spiritual connection with what's going on inside the building, even if my body is out here. And I sense God's presence here. Circumstances have moved me, but the Spirit of God has been good to me. This is a church building in back of me here, but this is the church, wherever we are. We have a creative mobility that's granted to us by the King, where we gather. I'm sure we'll be back inside someday. Won't we? I don't know. Maybe God has something else planned for us. We'll see. But let's live these moments with a deep sense of thankfulness. Maybe there are things that are out here that aren't in there. Parents of children, and I don't see a lot of them here this morning, but I really appreciate you bringing the young ones. Oh, there's Levi and Eli back there. Yeah, can't miss them. It's really good to see them. I am ready for the masks to be gone. The first Sunday that we met here, when we were out here in this group and the sun was shining, I walked up to say hi to Luke Summers, and he was holding Lottie, and Lottie reached out and grabbed my mask, tore it off, and Luke says, yeah, she's an anti-masker. She doesn't like this either. Yeah. I just want to share that God has been so good to me, to Nancy and I and our family. And I'm very thankful for that. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, thank you for the beauty of your creation, for the each person that's here and those that are out on Zoom, listening, worshiping in their place. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that continues to minister to us, watching over us, taking care of us. I thank you for Bill and Julie, for the wisdom and the insight that they have brought to our congregational life. Bless us as we continue this worship service together this morning. Amen. We're going to sing now, right?
To God be the glory, great things he has done, so Lord, he the world that he gave us his son, who healed his life.
Jan, I think the mic's off.
It's time for a children's story. So we invite children to come up closer to the screen to see Janice's story.
Hi, kids. Thank you for joining me today for our Bible story that I'm going to tell. It's a story about Agur, a man from the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. In the Bible, it tells about men, preachers or prophets, they were called, who were not good men. They were bad men. They did not tell the truth. But they pretended to be good, but they really were bad. But Agur, the man that I'm going to talk about, was a good man. He was a good prophet. He was a good preacher. And he said, "Everything God says is true, but I have two things to ask of God. So do you ever have a question that you would like to ask God, Rollin?"
Yes. I would always wonder what's it like up in heaven.
All right. Do you have something you would like to ask of God?
Riding horses.
What?
Riding horses.
Riding horses. Yeah. Aiden, what about you?
I wonder what it would be like to be rich and famous.
Okay. And how would you ask God?
Oh, Heavenly Father, please tell me what it's like to be rich and famous.
Okay. All right, so Agur had two things that he wanted to ask of God. And the first one was, make me absolutely honest. And the second one was, don't make me too rich or too poor. Because if I was too rich, I might have everything I need. And I would forget about God. Because I wouldn't need anything, and I would forget him. And I don't want to do that. If I was too poor,
I might get really hungry and might think I need to steal. I might want a loaf of bread because I was hungry. And I don't want to do that because it would disgrace God. So?
I got to see.
What I want is only what I need.
My arm and hand.
Okay, let's say a prayer. Dear Lord God, thank you that we can come to you and help us to always need you and never forget you, and help us to always be completely honest. Amen.
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 In the picture. My audio, how do I get out of it? I'd say.
Okay. Reading from Matthew, again from chapter 7, verse 13 to 23. Enter through the narrow gate. The gate is wide, and the road is easy. Leads to destruction. There are many who take it, for the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are a few that find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns? Are figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, O Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do so many deeds of power in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Ken, for reading that for us and for your words this morning. And thanks, Janice, for the children's story. I know how difficult it is for me to watch myself being on TV yet. You know, I do try to watch the recordings just to see myself, but I do that in the privacy of my own office. Janice had to watch herself here this morning with us all that are here in the parking lot. So, Janice, thank you for this morning's children's story. I would say happy Mother's Day to all of us, especially to those that are moms. It's a special day. We recognize the moms. And here, those that are gathered here with us, make sure we have flowers in honor of our moms for all the women that are present here. And I would say probably if there's some left over, if the men want to sneak some too, that's all right. Just don't let me catch you. No, that's fine. I did notice that Terry Rediger is with us through Zoom this morning, so we say hi to Terry and welcome to our service this morning. Terry is our district pastor, and appreciate his presence and just his ongoing relationship that he and I have and just the work he does with us here at Zion. This morning, we continue in the Sermon on the Mount. The question I have for you, and the title of the sermon is this the right way? Another title or another question could potentially be, are we on the right road? How many of you remember maps? I mean, road maps that you would fold out and look at and then try to fold back together? Or the road atlas. Do you remember the road atlas that was multiple pages? You could get 50 state atlas and it'd be what we're missing out nowadays, because nowadays, we don't have maps. We have these phones that tell us where to go and how to get there. But even with these, with the technology today and the fancy phones and telling us where to go, sometimes I still wonder if I'm on the right road. I know that I can trust my GPS, but I also know sometimes it doesn't always make the best choices. I remember one occasion where I was pretty sure we were only a couple minutes from our final destination, and about 20 minutes later, we got there. Now, I did a bad thing. I went back and looked at how close we actually were later on Google Maps and realized, you know, had I just gone with my instinct, I think we could have saved 15 minutes of our life driving around on roads. But where we are is important, whether it's physically where we are, emotionally where we are, or spiritually where we are is important. Through this Sermon on the Mount study that we've been engaged in, we've recognized that this sermon is set in the book of Matthew. And Matthew is clearly trying to pull out the instances of seeing Jesus as the Messiah, directing us towards an understanding that that Jesus is he's the king, and the king is into and doing and setting up the kingdom work. And Jesus is going to recognize, as we study the Sermon on the Mount, and if we continue in Matthew, Jesus will again and again recognize that he's the fulfillment of the Old Testament law, connecting what he is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount and what he's teaching in his ministry on earth to the Old Testament, not doing away with the Old Testament, but connecting us to that and seeing that all of what is in the Old Testament is pointing towards Jesus. And then Jesus comes on the scene. And we've been thinking about, as we've looked at this Sermon on the Mount, the moral standing that Jesus, the character that Jesus is encouraging us as followers, and to expand our moral imagination for seeing a new way in the kingdom work and what God is doing. And that was for those that were hearing Jesus preach this Sermon on the Mount, but also for us today to think about and understand what is it that God's calling us to as individuals and as a congregation, and even corporately as the body of Christ, the church. How do we function? How do we act? What words do we say that can reflect the character, the nature of God? And again, seeing Jesus as that, that person, the Messiah, the King, and the teachings to follow, to be able to understand more and more that it is in things we do, but it's not the things we do that saves us. Just a reminder that Jesus will again pull in an understanding and elsewhere in the New Testament that salvation's a gift given to us. But because that gift has been given to us, because God has revealed himself to us through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, it changes then how we look at, how we think about, how we act, how we function. And as we look at today's text, we're really stepping into the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gives. Jesus is speaking to this crowd. Remember, this crowd's up on the mountain. These would be followers, but there'd be people listening perhaps that are not followers of Jesus. And he's going to kind of wrap things up with a set of twos. Two ways, two trees, and then next week we're going to talk about two builders. One commentator said this, Matthew 7, 13 to 14 has a summarizing character. It looks back over all the demands delivered thus far and says that, quote, the way of righteousness and, quote, the way of God propounded therein is profoundly arduous. I love quoting commentators. They use these big words and it's like, what did that just mean? It means that the Sermon on the Mount lays out something as far as our character, our nature, the things that we'll be doing, the way of righteousness, and it is pretty tough to do. This is hard to follow this way because it's counterculture. Not only is it counterculture, but it's counter my personality, my being. It goes against what I really would react or initially respond to things around me. So when Jesus suddenly lays out this concept, this thinking about the narrow gate and the wide gate, and how do we think and understand all of that in moving forward? And Ken alluded to the fact that maybe this isn't just about salvation, but maybe there's more to it than that. So I want to think some more about that this morning. Ken had no idea where I was headed with the sermon, so it's interesting how God works. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, another great theologian, preacher, pastor, says this: to confess and testify to the truth as it is in Jesus, and at the same time to love the enemies of that truth, his enemies, Jesus' enemies, and ours, and to love them with the infinite love of Jesus Christ, is indeed a narrow way. To believe the promise of Jesus that his followers shall possess the earth, and at the same time to face our enemies unarmed and defenseless, preferring to incur injustice rather than to do wrong ourselves, is indeed a narrow way. Now, I'll step out of the quote for a little bit, because in reflecting on this, what Bonhoeffer's doing is looking at kind of at the summary of the Sermon on the Mount, and particularly mentioning, and really this is some of the traditions of the Mennonite faith, is this understanding of we are unarmed and defenseless in the face of our enemies, and that we are okay with that. And that goes against all what's in me to want to do as a person. And that takes, if I'm gonna act in that way, that takes the Holy Spirit working in and through me, and that recognition of God's grace in my life and in the lives of those around me. It is indeed a narrow way. Bonhoeffer goes on to say, to see the weakness and wrong in others, and at the same time, refrain from judging them. We talked about that last Sunday. And then he finishes with this: the way is unutterably hard, and at every moment we are in danger of straying from it. Well, the task seems rather large then. If we're to take the narrow road, if we're to be on the narrow road, if we're to be counterculture, if we're to love our enemies, if we're to not judge one another, how will we do this? And surely we can't do it all the time. That wasn't what Jesus was talking about, was it? The concept of two, the choices that Jesus puts forth here, it would not have been new to Jesus' listeners there on the mountain as he was preaching this sermon. In Deuteronomy chapter 11 in the Old Testament, verse 26 says, God said, "See, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse." And in Jeremiah 21:8, this is what the Lord says: "See, I'm setting before you the way of life and the way of death." So the choices that we make, that God is putting before us, this wasn't new for the listeners of Jesus. This had been going on actually since the Garden of Eden. We see in the account of Genesis. So it's been happening a long time. And what Jesus I see here promoting to us in these words is that there's a new way to think about this, a new way of understanding what is the right way. Because there are those who give and pray and fast that do it the right way, but there's those that Jesus talked about that do it the wrong way. And we know we're not to judge, but Jesus makes it clear there's two ways that we go about honoring and serving and living for in our understanding of what God calls us to. Some have light within and others darkness. Some serve God, others money. Wouldn't it be nice if it would be so clear that there always be this right, wrong way of thinking about life, and that we could have a list, and the right way of doing things would be the one list and the other list would be the wrong way of doing things. But it's evident in my work and life, and I think you could affirm this, that when we look at one another and we see one another praying or fasting or serving, that we can be serving side by side, doing the exact same thing. And Jesus says one of us can be doing it the right way and one of us doing it the wrong way. And the difference seems to be what's in our hearts, seems to be what our attitude is, seems to be how we are working this out in our own thinking, our own faith. It's clear from the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is encouraging us to choose wisely. To choose wisely when there's issues of the kingdom, of God's kingdom that's at stake in our own lives and making choices for ourselves, but also working together as the body of Christ. And it is indeed that what is in the heart is going to make the difference. What is going on in my heart, and my heart being the soul, the thinking part of me, the feeling part of me, my will, all of that making up the heart. And if we think about this narrow path, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many enter through that broad gate, but few enter through this narrow gate. And I have heard sermons and I've read commentaries that make this about salvation. And if you're saved, you're on that narrow path. And if you're not saved, you're on the broad path. And I think that's here. But I'm still wondering, because I'm remembering that Jesus is talking to his followers, his believers, and I'm wondering is if there is an understanding here that is about being on the narrow path, the narrow way, is implementing and doing that which Jesus taught us in the Sermon on the Mount, and that few of us can do that all the time. I mean, it's easy to just go do whatever we want. That's the broad way. It's more of a challenge to always be thinking and understanding, am I doing this because I want to do it, or am I doing it because God's calling me to do it? That seems to be a more narrow way. And if we are choosing the narrow way, it leads to life. And I wonder if that's the connection to when Jesus says in John 10:10 that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, the fullness of life, and the fullness of life coming out of our following, doing that which God calls us to. This helps me, if this is indeed an understanding of this text, it helps me a little bit more understand that salvation, being a Christian, isn't this exclusive club that only a few people are on or are in, and few people are on the road. It opens up to the fact that Christianity, faith in Jesus, is indeed inclusive. And probably more inclusive than most of the other world religions that we have around us. Because I don't have to be a certain person, come from a certain lineage. I don't have to look a certain way. I don't have to check off a bunch of things that I need to do to get to better levels of life, better levels of heaven. I don't have to serve anywhere. I don't have to do these things. Christianity is open to all. It's inclusive. All can come and see and hear and understand and step into a life of faith. From our own confession of faith and Mennonite perspective, in talking about salvation, it says, we believe that through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God offers salvation from sin and a new life, a new way of life to all people. It is inclusive. So perhaps the two paths that we are on do more as we think about how we live out the Sermon on the Mount. And none of us, well, that's pretty bold. Let's just go with most of us. Most of us can't do it. We don't have the capacity as a human being, as a person, to be able to live life according to the Sermon on the Mount without the grace and love of God. And we're going to fail. And sometimes we're going to get tripped up, we're going to get off course, and God's going to remind us and put us back on course as we come and confess our sins and say to one another, please forgive me. And we engage in forgiveness with one another. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, again, thinking about how open this gospel is, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone, who has faith, first to the Jew and then to the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God that is revealed through faith for faith. As it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. And it will take faith, it does take faith, to be able to stay on the narrow path. For we know the narrow path is not easy. And sometimes we have to give up things, and it's hard, and it's no guarantee that life will be a piece of cake. But because we know that which God calls us to, we're able to step out in faith and do and be and act in such a way that we reveal the character of God and God's love for one another. Matthew, in Matthew 10, shares this from Jesus' words. Again, Jesus speaking. Jesus says, do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Boy, that is not a verse Mennonites like to read. But Jesus goes on and he says, for I've come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Now, wait a minute. This is Mother's Day. What are we doing reading these verses on Mother's Day? Jesus goes on and says, anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And then verse 39, Matthew chapter 10, whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. And it is in that verse the key of understanding. Jesus isn't saying that we're not supposed to love our mothers. Absolutely, we're supposed to love our mothers and our fathers and our families. In fact, we can love them more deeply, be connected and engaged with the people that are important in our lives more intimately if we love God the most. And in that is a challenge of how can I understand my relationships with people in connection with my relationship with God, and then I can build my relationships around me in more powerful ways, more meaningful ways, the more I understand who God is and who God has created me to be. Jesus goes on then, after he shares the two paths, the narrow and the wide, and says, watch out for false prophets. And then he compares the good tree and the bad tree. And I think what I want to pull out for us this morning in just the flow of this text is the fact that we can fool one another very easily. And so it's not about judging others, but it's about being aware of myself and aware of those around me. We know probably examples of Christian leaders who appear to have been doing lots of good in the world. And then we find out that they've behind the scenes have been very bad, evil people. And we think, well, what it seems then that good fruit was coming from a bad tree. And Jesus says that can't happen. And I guess I need to be careful how I evaluate and what Jesus is talking about in fruit, because oftentimes we connect fruit with, particularly in ministry, with how many people attend church, how many people are getting saved, how much we're doing for missions around the world. And these are all good things. But perhaps the fruit that Jesus is talking about is what is happening in each person's heart. And to know if people are good or bad, connecting that to the fruit is about the fruit that is being displayed in their lives, in their heart, in the intimate relationships that they have. And in each one of us, that challenge to be able to be people who are real in our relationships and that we are sharing in the fruit that comes from the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. This is the fruit that we need to display. But to be aware that there are folks that are going to try and fool us and make it look like they are headed towards what God wants for them, what God wants for us, but it could be that it's bad fruit. what do? Well, let's just not listen to anyone else and we'll just be right. Jesus goes on. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. So doing the will of God is key in my relationship with others and with God. Well, what is this will of God? What is he talking about? I believe what he's talking about here is this understanding of faith. That is the will of God, that each of us would come to faith and understanding who Jesus is, understanding of the guidance from the Holy Spirit, and that we engage in the world in which we live based on an understanding of our identity in Christ, and from that flows grace, love, the faith that is continually being built up in us. We can love better if we love God. So, there are two roads. And we can apply this to salvation, but I believe we can also apply it to those of us who are have faith and desire to live out as Jesus calls us to. These two roads, which one are we on? And if I'm on the broad road, am I even aware of it? God, help me to see which road I'm on. I also believe that what we do and say really does matter. And that priorities, the priorities we have in our own life, reflect how important God is to us. And I want my priorities according to what Jesus and obeying Jesus. And so to continue to look at the Sermon on the Mount and the rest of the biblical text to understand what is it that God's calling me to. And to engage then in conversation with others around us. That's the body of Christ, the church. To come together, to pray, to seek direction. To understand, as in the Old Testament, the men of Issachar, who looked around and understood the times, but knew what to do. The knowing what the church is to be doing, where should we put our focus, what are we to be about? That is vital as we continue to move forward in the vision that God gives us to as a congregation and as individuals. And in all of this, in coming together, we remember that salvation is indeed by grace. We see this thread of grace throughout the Sermon on the Mount. And that God's will is receiving that grace, that gift, given to us by Jesus, being revealed again and again by the Holy Spirit. Is this the right way? Are we on the right road? Let us help one another on this journey, not in judgment, but coming alongside in love, so that you and I can recognize when we are on the right way. And maybe when we've taken a turn off the right way. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for this morning, for your word. God, I would ask that you would reveal to us in our hearts, in our minds, that which you would call us to this week, to engage in, to be on the road that leads us towards more of what you want us to be, God. And God, I would ask too that you'd give us the courage, give me the courage to ask, am I on the broad way or the narrow way? Help me not to judge others, but help me to be honest with myself. Give each of us the courage to know that we are indeed going after what you want for us. And God, help us in our relationship with one another. God, where there's places, where there's pain, where there's hurt, I would ask that you would bring healing. And God, I ask too that you draw us nearer to you. Let us see you today, this week, in the things that we do and the places that we go. And God, I ask too today a special blessing upon moms. May this Mother's Day be an encouragement to the moms in our congregation and our families in this country and world, God, we are blessed. Amen.
We want to come together with our prayer concerns this morning. In your bulletin, we have several listed of people we want to lift up today that are experiencing injury or health issues. Chris Cady is struggling with calcitic tendonitis in her shoulder. We want to remember her as she decides on treatment and what decisions there for pain relief. We want to remember Donna Ollis's granddaughter, Skylar, who is struggling with health issues. Also, Gina Hansen, who has a finger injury from this past week. And we want to remember Marlene Harris, who recently had neck surgery, and just pray for her recovery. So please join me as we pray together. Lord, your love is without limit. And we ask that you would enlarge our vision of your redeeming purpose for all people in our world. By the example of your Son Jesus, who makes us ready to serve the needs of the world and the needs of each other. We just lift up those this morning who are dealing with sickness, injuries. Lord, be with them in these times of pain and decisions. We think of Gina and Chris, Skylar and Marlene, and ask that you would strengthen them if they are discouraged, that you would bring comfort and healing. And we pray for our world this morning. In the midst of this global pandemic, we realize that healthcare systems are fragile in other parts of the world, in India, in Colombia, in other places. God, we ask that you would provide for the needs of those that cannot get a doctor's care or the oxygen that they need or the nurse's care that they need. We pray that you would be in those places. Lord, thank you for our mothers. Thank you for those who have cared for us, often in quiet and unrecognized ways, those that have been like mothers to us. Thank you for their encouragement, compassion, empathy, grace, and unconditional love, because we know what they hold in those qualities is what you are to us. Like a mothering hen, you cry over us and protect and care for us. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your arms around each one of us, for the embrace that you give. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. And I send you with this benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in peace.